Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with one of the nation's foremost experts on electrical power and energy, David Freeman, who has been inspecting the nuclear power plant at San Onofre, north of San Diego, which is leaking radiation and, in his opinion, should remain shut down. The former head of the Tennessee Valley Authority, New York Power, the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, and the state energy czar who rescued California from the predations of Enron and Company, David Freeman is the author of Winning Our Energy Independence, An Energy Insider Shows How. Then we'll assess the upcoming talks this weekend between the P5 plus one and Iran, which might provide a diplomatic alternative to the impasse over Iran's nuclear program that threatens to lead to war and a global energy crisis. The co-founder and president of the National Iranian American Council, Dr. Trita Parsi, will discuss possible areas of agreement to avoid war, given that there is no agreement even among the P5 plus one itself on how to proceed. Then finally, we'll examine the fragile ceasefire that began today in Syria and discuss the stalemate between the Syrian rebels and the Assad regime, neither of whom can win in a civil war that is fast becoming a proxy war. Asla Bali, a professor at the UCLA School of Law who specializes in international human rights and the laws of war, joins us. She had an article in Wednesday's New York Times, "To Stop the Killing, Deal with Assad." Joining us now is David Freeman, who is a leading authority on the production, management, and delivery of energy to large populations. He has had the ear of federal officials since the days of JFK and helped bring about the Environmental Protection Agency under President Nixon. He headed the Tennessee Valley Authority under Jimmy Carter and also headed New York Power and the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, and was the state energy czar responsible for rescuing California from the predations of Enron and Company. David Freeman is the author of Winning Our Energy Independence, An Energy Insider Shows How. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Freeman.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And today, Southern California Edison announced that there has been more unusual wear has been found on tubing that carries radioactive water. And this is from unit number two generators, and there's a similar degradation in its sister reactor, unit three. And this latest disclosure has come in an ongoing series of disclosures and surrounding the mysteries of this plant's steam generators. What have you found out that's really going on here, David Freeman?
Well, together with Friends of the Earth, we retain probably the country's foremost expert on steam generators, Arne Gundersen. And he did a report, interestingly enough, 10 days ago, and his conclusion was that there was a fundamental change in the steam generators that were built to replace the old ones. This is an old plant. Let's put it in perspective. This power plant is 30 years old, which in power plant years is a lifetime. And it's a nuclear plant, which demands the most excellent engineering and workmanship of any technology I know, because it's, frankly, a radioactive factory. And if anything comes out, it's purely lethal in quantity, the equivalent of a bomb in terms of the impact that it can have. And we know that from Hiroshima. I mean, it's taken quite a few bombs to wipe out 20% of the country, which is what it did. So we're fooling around with really something a whole lot more lethal than dynamite. The steam generator, which is an important part of the plant, was worn out, so they had to replace it. They went, the Edison Company told the Nuclear Regulatory Commission that we're just replacing the steam generator with another new one. And they have a process where if you're just replacing an old part, you don't have to go through a license amendment. So they went through the easy path where it was just kind of rubber stamped and no scrutiny was made. But these clever engineers at the Edison Company saw this as an opportunity to squeeze more power out of the plant. So they changed the design, which this is the largest steam generators in the world, I think. They're really big things, 65 feet high. And there was a, if you think of it in simple terms, if you assume this is a large tent, they had a pole in the middle that made it sturdy and not vibrate. They took the pole out of the design in order to squeeze more tubes in to get more power out of the plant. And as a result, you know, it's an exaggeration to say it this way, but these pipes began to dance like a hula dancer, and they rubbed up against each other. And in just operating this new steam generator for 18 months and 12 months in one unit, they found wear of 30% that you wouldn't expect in 15, 20 years. And they actually found the hole in one in unit three that was punctured. Well, Arnie identified these changes in the design, and he published a report which said that these are twins. An Edison company for many days, they had what I would call back in the Watergate days a limited hangout. The first day they said it was just steam that went out. The next day they said it's radioactive steam. Then they said, you know, it's just unit three. And now today, or rather on Tuesday, they had to admit that they found the same thinning in the tubes on unit three, that the similar thinning way beyond what you'd expect in a new unit. So they're twins. And now, you know, they then the next step is to waive the threat of blackouts. Now, blackout is a very serious thing in California. We went up against that in the year 2000 with Ken Lay and his gang. It faked power shortages to cause us to lose billions of dollars in electric rates. And so the fear of blackouts was waived in order to try to persuade the NRC, which is a watchdog, is really a puppy dog. And the chairman of the NRC came down here to the plant trying to placate Senator Boxer and Senator Feinstein that he was really serious. But he kept making a distinction between Units 2 and Unit 3. Now they've had to admit that they're twins. And so the next step, of course, is what did we do in 2001 when I was up there helping Gray Davis? We launched a major energy efficiency and conservation program, and we didn't have any blackouts in 2001. The loads were reduced through incentives and appeals to the public, and the ball game was over. And the Texas Raiders had to just go back home, and their game over.
Right, after stealing $40 billion, though.
Oh, yeah, but it, at least it ended. Another year, and it had been another 40. I'm not saying that that was a stellar performance, but it ended a few months after I got there, is all I can say. And in any event, what we have now is the public being given a choice between starting up a dangerous power plant and blackouts, and that's ridiculous. You know, a major efficiency program like we had in 2001 would keep the lights on, and that sucker, that nuclear plant, needs to stay down until we have really identified the causes and fix it. But the long-term prognosis is that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is giving out 20-year license extensions as though there were Valentines. Unless the public arouses itself in righteous anger and says, no, we face a 30-year plant living another 30 years right on an earthquake fault, right on the Pacific Ocean, that's already ailing and leaking, and where they cannot possibly evacuate the people there. There's 8 million people that live within the 50-mile zone, and if you drive down Highway 1 near that plant, you know, you just take any ordinary traffic jam day, and you know you can't get the people out of there. So nobody would even dream of building a nuclear plant there today, and it needs to stay down until they could get it fixed. And even if they get it fixed, it should be given an end date when its current license expires, which is still another 10 years. I don't know whether it could or should make it that long, but we got to know what's wrong with it before it goes back up. I mean, you know, We just had a shock. Another thing is it's designed for a 7.0 earthquake, and that's what Fukushima was designed for, and they had a 9.0, which is 60 times as great. People don't realize it goes up geometrically, and we've had 8-point-something earthquakes popping up all over the Pacific Rim in the last 48 hours. So it's just madness and insanity to think we're keeping that sucker running another 30 years or maybe even another 30 days. The other thing is back in the 70s and 80s when it was built, we really didn't have the technology to harness the sun and the wind or know about storage. We have it today. And if we decide now that that plant needs to be shut down either right now or at least when its license expires, we can start building the replacement power in an orderly way and in a cost-effective way and in a way that will start creating a whole bunch of additional green jobs that we badly need. So what's happened is the public has gone to sleep about nuclear power for the last 25 years because we didn't build any new ones, and the environmental community largely is focused on carbon. Well, I think we need to focus on carbon a whole lot more than we are. But the idea of substituting radioactive factories full of plutonium for carbon is also insane. And I just feel strongly that we got to bring an end to. There are two deadly forces on Earth that are threatening our grandchildren. One is climate change. The other is nuclear power. We have the answer for both. Efficiency and renewable energy. Like my granddaughter said to me, she says, "Dad, why are we trying to figure out how to make some energy differently when Mother Nature delivers it to us with the sun and the wind free of charge?" And it's a damn good question that the Southern California Edison Company needs to answer.
Well, what's key about these tubes is there are 10,000 of these alloy tubes in each of the plant's four steam generators that were just put in 2010 and 2011. As you said, Dave Freeman, the plant is licensed to go till 2022, 10 years from now. But all of a sudden, these new tubes have been breaking down at an alarming rate, and 321 of them have been heavily damaged, and they've been leaking. And of course, they are the key at the key point between the radioactive water and the non-radioactive water. And if they were to break, these tubes help cool the reactor core, and these breaks could compromise the cooling system and lead to a meltdown that we just saw recently in Japan and in Fukushima. So this is really key to it. So you're saying that they used the rubric of getting upgrading the plant with these new steam generators that they bought from the Japanese, but then they crammed in more tubes in order to extract more power out of it, and all of a sudden the plant starts to vibrate and the tubes start to rub up against each other and degrade rapidly. That's a summary, right?
Ian, you're rather good. You got it.
Okay, so
you described it quite well.
And the guy and
that's precisely it. And you know, just using plain English, they're operating a plant where the steam generator really hasn't been licensed properly.
Right.
And of course, we feel that there has to be local outrage at this because all politics is local, and if the local people are not afraid of the plant, I would like to find any one person listening to this broadcast who would like to have a nuclear plant located near their home. I don't think there is such a person.
Well, particularly one that's already had to be shut down because
The one that's leaking, 30 years old and leaking, no.
Right.
No. On an earthquake fault in an area where you can't get the people out of there, and the thing I haven't mentioned, there's 30 some odd years of highly radioactive nuclear trash piled up at that site, and of course the federal trash man was supposed to come and take it away, but he's never showed up because they haven't found a place to put it. You know why they haven't found a place to put it? Because there is no safe place on this earth. Let me just finish my point. Sure. I think this is, if you take it to people, I'll just put it this way. I think everybody would be in favor of birth control as far as these nuclear rods are concerned. How can we keep making more and more of them if we don't know where we're going to put them except to pile them up and bring them closer to closer on that site down there and make it more and more dangerous that something might happen? We need to get off of our nuclear arrogance and recognize that there's a lot, not only that we don't know, but there's a lot that we don't know we don't know. I mean, this is a radioactive monster that's sitting there, and it just takes perfect engineering to keep it from killing us. And my own view, and I've been on all sides of this nuclear issue in my life, but I did shut 8 of them down in the Tennessee Valley, and I buried one up in Sacramento in the 1990s. But in the past, I was lukewarm. I was just worried about the cost and worried a little bit. I went to Chernobyl in 1991. And let me tell you something, folks. When you see a monument with the names of villages on it, it does something to you. And then when you go out and talk to people who used to live there and they start crying when you talk about that there is nuclear power. I mean, you hand someone a Geiger counter and he hugs you because since I've been worried for 5 years whether the radioactive activity was still in the air, it becomes rather human to you. I would say that if we took a delegation over to Japan and came back, that they'd be talking like I'm talking.
Well, let's just
somebody calls me an alarmist. I say hell yes, because there's a lot to be alarmed about.
Well, just in the last couple of minutes, David Freeman, again the former head of the Tennessee Valley Authority, New York Power, Los Angeles DWP, and the California Energy Czar, who rescued the state from Enron and company, and you've been down there at San Onofre on Friday. Of course, the NRC chairman was there with Senator Feinstein, but also Senator Representative Daryl Issa, who represents that district, who's now.
Yeah, and they were kind of pushing the idea of, oh, we'll compromise this. We'll keep 3 down because they had the hole, and but 2 is very different. We're going to bring that up to meet the summer peaks. That was the line that they were peddling as of Friday, but the limited hangout that's coming out of this and company, they now reveal, oh, we've got the same problems in 2. So that idea, I would hope, is dead now, but who knows?
Well, but it's pretty clear that ISA is pressuring. He doesn't like JASCO of the NRC. You describe them as lapdogs instead of watchdogs, but they're not even, they're too zealous for ISA. He wants that plant back up and running.
Well, JASCO is just one person on a 5-person board. I've been on 5-person boards. Ian, the first thing you learn is you have to count to 3 or you don't have any impact. And JASCO does not have 3 votes. So he's trying, maybe as best he knows how, trying to please people on both sides of the aisle. They need to hear from local people. The congressman needs to hear from local people. The senators need to hear. The California Public Utility Commission needs to hear. And I think Jerry Brand needs to hear.
But what they need to hear is that this plant's already been jerry-rigged outside of specifications in order to cram more power out of it, and it's already breaking down when it's got a license to operate for another 10 years, and it's only been working for about a year, and the degradation is alarming. This is a serious matter. This thing sounds like it's an accident waiting to happen.
It's an accident that's already happened.
Well, Dave Freeman, I thank you very much for joining us here and alerting us to this. Again, Again, I've been speaking with David Freeman, who is the leading authority on the production, management, and delivery of energy to large populations. He has had the ear of federal officials since the days of JFK and helped bring about the Environmental Protection Agency under President Nixon. He headed the Tennessee Valley Authority under Jimmy Carter and headed the New York Power, the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, and was the state energy czar responsible for rescuing California from the predations of Enron and company. He is the author of Winning Our Energy Independence and Energy Insider Shows How. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back in a moment talking about the possibilities of a peace deal with Iran. The talks begin on this weekend.
But the atoms here, in spite of hysteria, it flourishes in Utah as well as Siberia. And whether you're a black, white, red, or brown, the question is this when you boil it down. To be or not to be, that's the question. The answer to it all ain't military datum, like who gets there firstest with the mostest atoms. No, the people of the world must decide their fate. They gotta get together or disintegrate. A whole less truth to be self-evident that all men may be cremated equal.